Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Fayebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.
My name is Mike Tipping, T-I-T-P-I-N-G, and I'm Communications Director for the Maine People's Alliance.
Yesterday was Monday, and it was the first weekday since the Republican Senate passed the tax bill. And so tell us what went on in Maine yesterday when your senator voted for the tax bill.
Well, as you may remember, Susan Collins, upon returning to Maine after voting against the Republican health care repeal, got applauded at the airport. And there were several scenes of people on the street, thanking her for her vote. She did not have the same reaction in Maine. Actually, she stayed in D.C. and did the Sunday shows. But in Maine, people were protesting up and down the state, and they are continuing to do so all this week. Yesterday in Bangor, dozens of people were outside her office, and five very brave souls went inside and refused to leave until she talked to them about her vote, and she didn't, and they got arrested and carted out in a police van. So things are definitely escalating here. I feel like people believe that she's not listening to them, that she's doing real damage to the state, that she's been lying about her votes and about the policy, and that they're not going to take it anymore.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about that, because she was obviously one of the three votes that stopped the repeal of the Affordable Care Act. And she's sort of known for being a somewhat of an independent Republican. And so talk about like the process of sort of watching her go through this and decide to vote yes for the tax cuts.
Well, I think one thing to remember about Susan Collins is that she has been moderate on many issues, but the second part of that formulation, the Republican part, is almost more important. She may not be as ideological as Ted Cruz, but she is a hardcore Republican. She cares about the party. She cares about her leadership. She doesn't want to, offend her colleagues. If she can find a way to vote for something, if it's procedural tricks or being able to claim, she got some kind of deal or something like that, she will do it, to advance their interests. So on this bill, it was an interesting process. She sat down with President Trump and apparently got some promises out of him, and is apparently the only person in the world that trusts promises from President Trump, but said that she would get some health care bills that do a bit of work around the edges, that she would get some tax cuts changed in some slight ways. And it looks like not even that is going to happen, but even if she did get those, they are fig leaves for just an awful bill that dramatically increases inequality, that blows a hole in the deficit, that will lead to deep health care cuts and cuts to Medicare and Social Security. Maine is the oldest state in the country. We have 300,000 people that rely on Medicare, and it is an incredibly damaging vote for her constituents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so talk a little bit more about that, about Maine in particular, what this bill would do to Maine.
Well, Maine is not the home of a lot of giant multinational corporations and rich CEOs. Well, we are. There's a lot of people that work in traditional industries on the ocean or in the forest. There's a ton of people that work or run small businesses. We have one of the highest rates of small business employment anywhere in the country. And we are the oldest state in the country now. Our population has the oldest average age. And we're the most rural state east of the Mississippi. So the provisions in this bill that target seniors and small businesses and rural areas, it is a bill designed to harm people in Maine. And I think that's why there's been so much, protest and so much of a feeling of betrayal for Susan Collins, who has claimed to speak on these kind of things. And just a few weeks ago, said she would not vote for the health care bill because it made some of the same cuts. A couple months ago, said she would never vote for a bill without full CBO score at hearings and everything else, really defending the institution of the Senate. And then she goes and votes for a bill that was, has handwritten scribbles in the margins and pages crossed out. She betrayed a lot of the things that she claimed to stand for and what you know, she really built her reputation as a common sense moderate around. Those are out the window.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we already have Marco Rubio saying that this is basically the path to cutting Social Security and Medicare, which is certainly important to the oldest state in the country.
Right. Really let the cat out of the bag there. They're supposed to wait until it passes to start talking about how they're going to use it to cut Social Security.
Well, you know, Marco Rubio, if Marco Rubio was good at his job, we wouldn't have Trump. We'd have Marco Rubio.
But yeah, along those lines, you know, Collins also went on the Sunday shows and said that this won't actually increase the deficit, that the growth we'll see will outpace that. She even cited some economists, which were like apparently the only economists you could find that said anything like that. And now they've actually walked that back and said, of course not. You know, even the most conservative leaning estimate still puts $500 billion in the deficit. The JCT says $1 trillion. And of course, that is going to have to come from cuts to health care and Social Security. And that's what they want. And that's what they'll push for. You know, before this happened, Susan Collins was recently chosen as co-chair of No Labels, which is kind of that, you know, center, deficit hot group. And they were, their whole thing is saying that the deficit was already so large that they had to go after people's health care and go after people's Social Security. And now she's voted to explode it further and really damage those things she claims to care about.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not know that about No Labels status. I keep being surprised that they still exist because, like, if there's one thing the Republicans are proving with this bill, it is that anybody pretending to care about the deficits is lying. But, you know, but I actually, that reminds me of something I wanted to ask about. You know, I'm seeing, like, Chuck Schumer and other people sort of hand-wringing about deficits when this bill is going to cause actual harm. I can't imagine that that's the most compelling argument to the people that you work with on the ground in Maine.
Well, I think people understand that what that means is cuts to Medicare and Social Security, and so they're definitely worried about that. Obviously, this bill is a $25 billion cut to to Medicare right off the bat through the PAYGO rule, and obviously there is the, I guess they're calling it the sneaky repeal of the Affordable Care Act by getting rid of the insurance mandates and plunging 13 million people into not having health care. So, I mean, all those things are immediate and scary, but, yeah, there's the bigger picture, too. And it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of people said that those kinds of concerns were artificial when they were made and they were being used as claims why we had to cut Medicare and Social Security. But Senator Collins has always trumpeted them. You know, she is the one that made us, that made President Obama scale back the stimulus package after the Great Recession. And that's, I mean, actually one of the more interesting things, I think, in her career. She didn't have, like, an ideological basis for the number that she wanted for the stimulus. She just chose a number exactly in the middle of what the Republicans wanted and what President Obama wanted and said, this is where I stand. So, I mean, she is a centrist, but not a moderate in many ways. And what that did, and people have pointed out, you know, it made the stimulus less effective. A lot more of it was in tax cuts, some of that to the wealthy than it probably should have been. And, you know, it delayed the recovery. It allowed Republicans to campaign on a bad economy. It got a lot more of them elected. And it turns out all of that was a terrible farce because she doesn't actually care about the deficit anyway here.
Yeah, that is the most perfect description of centrism I've ever heard, actually. And so what do you think the odds are of getting her to flip on this final bill, whatever comes out of conference?
Well, I think we're already seeing some movement. She has tried to defend her vote, and she's tried to even defend the Republicans when they broke in their promises to her and said that, no, it actually won't be part of the continuing resolution. These other bills she wanted in exchange for her vote. And first she said, oh, well, maybe it'll be by the end of the year. So she's changed her story on that. She's also said, walk back a little bit. Oh, it has the potential to create growth. It won't necessarily create enough growth to erase the deficit. Changing her story a little, I don't know if she'll change it enough before the next vote, which could come, obviously, later this week, as this comes out of conference to stop it. But I think she's definitely feeling the pressure. You know, this was front page headlines today, the protests, and on the evening newscast as these people got arrested. Her staff was apparently having a heated conversation with the police, trying not to make this a visual thing, these people being called out in handcuffs. She is very concerned about that moderate image that she has tried to project, and I think that is at risk here. So if people continue to speak out, I think there could be a chance at stopping her final vote.
And so what are the plans for the rest of the week?
Well, there are protests scheduled for today in Portland and Kittery, and there's ones later in the week in Orland and in Lewiston and more in Bangor. People are doing things all over. There's a ton of indivisible groups that are doing things just independently all the time, and really trying to find Senator Collins to talk to her about this, to flood her phone lines. People can call 202-224-2523, which is a number I have memorized at this point, her Washington office, and leave a message and let her know where you stand. And it's really all out the rest of the week trying to make sure that this lasting damage isn't done to Maine and to our country.
Yeah. Do you have folks from Maine who are going to D.C. as well?
We've had folks in Maine. A lot of what they've been doing is bringing stories and handwritten notes directly to our offices. The phone calls are good, emails are good, but, having a handwritten letter, we can deliver it, we can get it there in time, letting her know these voices of our constituents and the stories that they're telling.
Yeah. And great. How can people keep up with you and the work your group does?
Well, you can follow Maine People's Alliance on Facebook, and you can follow our news site, Maine Beacon, at mainebeacon.com.
Interviews for Resistance is a project of Sarah Jaffe with assistance from Laura Fayebois and support from the Nation Institute. You can find more information at necessarytrouble.org. Thanks for listening.